Good morning. Our lesson text today will be in Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 42. This area is where the law is being spoken by Jesus, where he will speak directly to his followers and what it would look like for those who are actually practicing what Jesus spoke and taught here. So in Matthew 5, we have the Sermon on the Mount, and he'll give these examples of the law: not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to divorce, not to pay evil for evil. And the last part of this section, most Bibles have a subtitle, Loving Your Enemies, and this is really where Jesus will bring up, because he desires love, he desires that there be mercy. And so the next few verses, but we'll read to 48, where we're to extend mercy on even those who hate us. In fact, Jesus will, what we call, bring up this fifth example as an antithesis. This is the fifth example. Jesus will say, which he has said throughout his sermon, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." So, beginning in verse 43, Jesus will say, "You've heard it said." Now, these are people that heard the law. These are a Jewish audience that had heard the message from the Old Testament, from the Torah. So we're not in the Ten Commandments now. The first two were Ten Commandment verses. Now he's generalizing what you've heard it say. And keep in mind, people misinterpreted what the Bible was really saying, what it meant to follow God in his law. So Jesus is going to say, "You've heard it said," in verse 43, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? If you only greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? For you yourselves must be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." Now I read that because before, in verse 38, which is where we're going to go, Jesus talks about, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any one of you sues you and takes your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse him who would borrow from you." The reason why I brought up loving your enemies first is because it's so easy to make enemies. On the extreme side of that, Jesus in his ministry, in his teaching, is he wants us to respond differently than those who would follow the teaching of an eye for an eye. I mean, it's really easy to go down that road. I think for many of us, I don't know about you, but when we're spoken of unwisely or wrongly, or someone cuts us off on the side of the road and, you know, we get cut off. When someone says something that we don't feel comfortable about, it's very easy to retaliate and lash out. So today's point is, as we had Kevin read, the whole emphasis of Jesus' ministry is overcoming evil with good. It's simple and sweet, but it's so much more difficult to practice. As we heard Anthony pray and say, it's putting it into practice is the challenge for all of us. We love Jesus here. We're thankful for His forgiveness. We're thankful to commune with Him. We're thankful for one another, but we still have responsibilities. And one of those things for each and every one of us is to overcome evil with good. So I keep it simple like that. The lesson title is Going the Second Mile. The second mile. There's something about that that's striking. Going the second mile. Why we're here on this earth. And it always will include other people. So the 3 points are overcoming evil with good. And it's a perspective on mercy. Again, both of these, I think both of these, you have heard it said, thoughts of the law extend to mercy. Having mercy on people. Having a true mercy. Not a mercy where you can forgive somebody one day and hate them the next. A consistency. Christ's example. We're going to look at Christ's example on mercy. I think there's nothing greater than how He showed and extended His mercy, not only on His church, the people of God, but He extends it still to everybody. So, overcoming evil with good. Jesus does use the familiar Old Testament passage. I mean, for any of us who have read the Bible at all, or even may have not have read the Bible, maybe we're not, we haven't read the Bible, maybe we've heard on television, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that's throughout the Torah, the law, we would say, the commands of God. Jesus doesn't change the moral law of God. Sometimes people say, well, He fulfilled the law. Yes, He did fulfill the law. He said He didn't come to abolish it. So there has to be meaning to what we and how we interpret. He wants us to respond differently than even God's law, in the sense that, you got to remember right here, by Jesus' time, that principle of the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a foot for a foot, was often an attitude here to justify having a vengeful heart. When someone does me wrong, I'm going to sock it to them. That idea. The law served as a guideline for the magistrates. They had the responsibility in the Old Covenant to delegate the responsibility of how they were going to deal with the people's issues toward one another. And it was a legal standard. It was proper. It was a proper, just standard. It was to help people know they're wrong, but not punish them so far that it didn't fit the crime. Now, sometimes we struggle with that, because a person that was caught in adultery was to be stoned, or these things in the Old Covenant, we don't fully always understand always why people were put in those positions. But we do know God here, said to be known as the Lex Talionis. Later on, it got to be called the Lex Talionis. It was the law of retribution. But it was always to be a punishment that fit the crime, and don't go beyond to beat a person up for what they had done to you. But again, for how we live today, there's times it's very easy to have this worldly principle. The world for the most part, don't get me wrong, there's a few nice people out there, and hopefully we're included in that, that we don't have the attitude to pay back. That's how the world runs. The world runs on, you do something to me, you're going to get something back. That's how the world runs. You do a greater hurt, it's going to be met with a greater hurt. Besides the physical act, and it is sobering to know that, yes, he's emphasizing the eye for the eye, the tooth for a tooth, but it's interesting in Romans 1:29 and 30 that gossip and slander are listed among the same sins as homosexuality, murder, heartless, foolish, and hatred of God. And I say this only because, and it's not to be overemphasized, but even the retaliation verbally or in our hearts. And that's the thing that the Pharisees were missing here, or the teachers of the law. Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that, because they outwardly did it all right. They were outwardly looking okay. They had their long flowing robes, they were religious, they were respected by people. But again, Jesus is saying, I'm going right to each and every one of your hearts. Where is your heart in the way you view people? The way you think about people? For Christians, the common temptation when wronged, and maybe I'm wrong saying this, and help me if I am, is to get even. It's just the temptation. I'm not saying we always do and we always want to, but the temptation is to give me back what you owe me and make someone suffer. Make someone suffer that you did wrong and you're going to pay for it. 1 Corinthians 6, that was an issue in the church. The church was going to law with each other, not practicing what Jesus is even teaching here. Can you imagine reading Jesus' teaching? Going to worship on the Lord's Day with the brotherhood of believers, praising God, and then saying, oh yeah, we got a court date Wednesday. That happened. I mean, we kind of chuckle. I'm like, wow. But yeah, this happened. Brothers were taking each other to court. Their disagreement to the world, to civil court, rather than resolving it with one another. Paul teaches better to be wronged, and I think this is the attitude of Jesus. Better to be wronged than sue a fellow believer in a worldly court. Better to be wronged. I think that's a principle that is challenging for everybody. Better to be wronged. When you're wronged, that's okay before the throne of God. Not that we lay down as a doormat and be trampled on. We don't ask for this. But it's better to be wronged. We're taught that when we give mercy to other people, and that's it, that we give up our rights to retaliate. We give that up. The temptation's there. We want to do this, especially with people that aren't Christian. But I dare say even sometimes with Christians, we want to make sure they really know how much we hurt. They hurt us. And I'm not saying it's always a physical boxing match, but it's the heart. How we absorb these things in our lives reflect on how we're able to show God we love Him first in doing what Jesus says. Jesus tells us that in personal matters, don't seek any retribution at all. And we'll see that. And again, to have the attitude to not retaliate toward anyone, anybody, and what they said or done, is to have the perspective on mercy, compassion. Right? Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. He introduces that new perspective. A Christian's personal interactions, how we respond to people personally, whether we're out and about. Again, I mentioned someone cutting us off. Driving is probably the most challenging thing for a Christian in everyday life. Being cut off is just a temptation to just let somebody have it. But I'm saying, It's tough to shun all that. It's hard to resist. But Jesus says, which is really challenging, do not resist an evil person. In verse 39, do not resist an evil person. The first temptation for anyone is to just not deal with evil people. I want to be with my group of followers of God. This is the peace road. It's very tough, very tough, to not resist an evil person. In Jesus' kingdom, we're called to a higher moral response. We love them, and we're generous to them. We're generous to the person that resists us, that is evil to us. But we love them, and we have compassion for them, and we are generous. We're givers. Peacemakers shall be called the children of God. Being at peace with God allows for us not to have to resist evil people. When you're at peace with God, you're able to extend your care and your heart for people in this world that are ugly. I'll say it that way. We're called to live at peace with all men as far as it depends on us. That's what Paul said. As far as it depends on us, live at peace with all men. And then in 1 Peter 2:23, we see when they hurled insults at him, Jesus, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he had no threats, and instead entrusted him who judges justly. And there's times in our lives that we just have to entrust ourselves to him who judges justly, even when we're tempted to retaliate and let somebody have it. Jesus teaches us here to imitate him. Imitating Jesus, that's a Christian. A follower of Jesus, a disciple, a Christian, a saved person, is one who follows and imitates Jesus. Trusting God who judges justly, showing mercy. That's a big deal. It's easy to throw out the words of mercy, grace, forgiveness. But this is exactly what Jesus did and showed. Jesus uses these four hyperbolic examples to show his point. In verse 39, he talks about turning the other cheek. Now, we don't always, probably many of us don't fully understand when we're insulted. Back in the day, during this time, when someone was given a backhand slap across the person's face, whether it be a slave, even a child, sometimes children were slapped that way, it was an insult. It was considered a horrible insult. When you backhanded someone in the face, it was bad. And those who would follow Jesus are told, turn the other cheek, so you can picture the person getting whacked in the right cheek. Jesus is saying, give them your left cheek. Give the person the left cheek. How hard is that? How hard is that of a teaching? For me, it's very difficult. Again, we want to retaliate. Maybe not all of you, but it's a temptation. The lawsuit, verse 40. He says, give up your cloak. Giving up your cloak. You know, if you're sued for your inner garment, your shirt, off your back, offer your cloak as well. Now, the law required less, and the reason why the law required less is because the cloak was it kept the body warm. So when they got their just punishment, they were told to return the cloak back to the people. So the law did require less, but Jesus says, give this all up. Go the extra for somebody to demonstrate greater generosity. while given more than what is demanded in the lawsuit, and what a way to defuse the situation by going to the extreme opposite for an accuser. And I will say, back to 1 Corinthians 6, when brothers were bringing brothers to court, what a way to show humility to someone that has something against you. You want it? Here it is. I'll give you everything I've got just to make sure I'm right before the throne of God. The forced labor. And the reason why I titled the lesson The Second Mile, because this is where the rubber meets the road. You know, when the civilian under Roman law, it was known as imprisonment, it was a common oppressive reality where a soldier could grab a citizen, a local citizen, and have them carry their gear for 1 mile. I think it was point, in today's world, 0.9 miles, but 1 mile, they could do that. By law, you taking my gear with me. And there was some oppression in doing so. So you think about, you're a Christian, and Jesus is saying, go the second mile with somebody that's treating you like this. If we follow Him, there has to be a spirit of somewhat voluntary. We're voluntarily giving up this to help other people. I know it sounds amazingly challenging, but this is exactly what Jesus is saying. Going the second mile. Going out of your way. Giving to everyone who asks. Giving to everyone who asks. To me, this seems like not even just Christians, when we may ask, hey, can I borrow this or can I have this? Everyone. To give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you, Jesus says here. It is a lifestyle. You make yourself vulnerable to serving other people, being a giver and less of a taker. Yeah, being a giver. Always thinking, how can I give to these people? I've said it before, it's not what's in it for me. When we're Christians, it's what can I give? What can I give to the next person around me? If you're sad, lonely, depressed, God can still use you to give to somebody else. All of the experiences we have are for to help other people. If you're going through a hardship, help another person that's going through a hardship. This is what I believe Jesus' attitude is, and those who ask us, give it to them. We're often reminded in Hebrews 10:24 to let us consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. There it is. There it is. Will we go the second mile for the purpose of God's kingdom? Remember, being a follower of Jesus never required us to be selfish. It's a full self-sacrifice to be in this room following Jesus. Sometimes it takes all we can to get out of a comfort zone in life to allow others to hear and see the grace of God. Because to be honest, it may only be a one-time event where we actually meet somebody, and who we are and what we show and what we say can have an impact for them to want and follow Jesus, as He calls us to. And then thirdly, Christ's example of mercy. Because we have the perspective of mercy. We understand now, turning the other cheek, giving up your cloak. I mean, there's some sacrifice there to be merciful to our enemy, to those who would ridicule us and persecute us. But Jesus takes the focus off the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth. Not permitting abuse, but rather a willingness, again, to be vulnerable, to not retaliate in the kingdom of peace. Because the kingdom of God, the church should be where we're at peace with God, and that's the kingdom of God. We sang the song, Peace. It is the kingdom of peace. We're not out to beat anyone up. We're not out to bring each other to court. We're here to follow Jesus' example of mercy. He was insulted. The soldiers dressed him in a scarlet robe. Robert read this morning. A crown of thorns. And a reed scepter. Talk about criticizing and mocking God. Giving him a little stick. Giving him a little stick. Putting a crown on him and taking the stick and whacking it on his head. I mean, we get the visual. Saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Before spitting on him, and they really did strike him. Bang, bang, bang. Yes, we get the visual. It's deep. But think about this. So he's going through this, the Messiah, God, the one we worship. He's forced to carry his cross. Jesus never asked us to carry anything more than he wouldn't. He was never a hypocrite in what he spoke and his calling to us. He made every effort to carry that cross. Eventually, he had to succumb to... He just was beat up so much, he had to drop the cross, and the cross had to be carried by someone else. But he stripped of his garments. Robert alluded to this in the Lord's Supper. Soldiers took his outer garments and cast lots for it, his seamless tunic. They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Psalm 22:18. And the thing that strikes me in humility and understanding our example to follow Christ's mercy, he watched this from the cross. He watched people casting lots for his clothing on his off his back. How, if I was on the cross, it would be very tough to do what Jesus did and dying for everybody when we know we have a view of how wicked the world is. But Jesus practiced what he preached. From the Sermon on the Mount and what he asked us of to do to his death on the cross, all the way through, he never retaliated. He prayed for his enemies. And he extended his mercy even on the cross. How do I know that? And I've said this before, I'll say it again and again until I die. The reason why I know Jesus extended his mercy even on the cross, praying for his enemies, is when he said, he looked down and saw what people were doing, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's why I know Jesus extended his mercy on us and for all men. That's why it's God's will all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Because once we recognize our sin and what we've done to Jesus, we can only surrender to him. And it can only have the heart to want to serve each other and serve our enemy. Serve those who don't even like us because of what Jesus did. Do I pray for my enemies? Am I humble toward those who oppose our message? We preach a strong message. We do. This is a strong message to teach the gospel. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to those who believe and are saved. But to those who are perishing, well, unfortunately, that's exactly what happens. We have to respond to the gospel. It's the power of God. It's the only thing that'll save us. Do I carry my cross daily? Ask yourself when you are alone in your prayer, do I carry my cross daily? And pray about that. Pray that God would help us all understand what it means to each and every one of us carry our cross daily. Daily. Not weekly, not just here. Daily. It changes your perspective on what Jesus has done for you and me. Our generosity, our non-retaliation toward others, inside and outside the church. And the reason why I say inside and out the church is because Jesus said everyone, doing good to everyone. Doesn't just stay in the small group that you're closest to. It has to expand. From an understanding of just how much we ourselves have been given by God and forgiven. When we know how much God's given us, we can forgive. We can show the mercy of God. The invitation, Jesus calls us to go beyond the eye for an eye, that tooth for a tooth approach, and those temptations will come. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Give generosity. Generously, a test of genuine faith and trust in God. When we're doing those, that is the testing of our faith. And how we respond shows that we trust God in what we're doing. Whether it be giving or letting somebody take advantage of us in that sense, spiritually speaking. I'm not saying we should be beat up if we can avoid it. But to be able to genuinely trust God through whatever come what may. When we disarm ourselves in humility, disarm ourselves, we have to be vulnerable and show mercy, we will understand the grace of God. That's when we understand the grace of God. Jesus' example and teaching leaves us only with one choice. To follow in the way of His kingdom. The question is, are you in God's kingdom? Are you in God's kingdom? In Luke 9, 23 through 25, Jesus, He says, "Then He said to them all, whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" You know, what's interesting is the same message is for today. Whoever, not just any, He says, anybody who wants to be My disciple in the first place comes a denial of self. And we see that in the Sermon on the Mount. To be blessed from the beginning of that sermon, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. We recognize our need for God. We recognize we need God to carry the cross daily. To carry the cross daily. It's not about just, and I emphasize this, in God's kingdom, it's a daily walk. To be in this kingdom and the responsibilities someone who would follow Jesus has is to walk as Jesus walked. There's no reason why we don't need to carry the cross. We need the cross. Yes, there's times it's painful, but we need to carry the cross of Jesus. Why? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. How do I know that? Because when we deny what Jesus teaches us to do, we're saving ourselves, not our hearers. And again, throughout Jesus' ministry, what good is it for any of us to gain anything on this earth? He says the whole world, this is Jesus, gaining the whole world and forfeiting your soul? See, I think sometimes we forget that we have a soul in us, that God put a soul in every human being that needs to be saved. But we're so physically challenged to grasp this that we can forfeit our very soul. But I want to encourage anyone here that is not a follower of Jesus to consider responding to the gospel message. That responsible message is to repent. That's what Jesus said. That's what the apostles taught, to change, to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for, he told them then, your children, and those who are far off. If there's anyone that's far off right now, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.